Looking at what it means to be a true follower of Christ, a true disciple, and what the characteristics of that life is. It's the characteristics of Christ, the kind of life he lived. And we are to emulate him. We want to pattern our lives after Christ. Paul said to those he wrote to pattern your life after me, but he says, you know, follow me only as I follow Christ, see? So that was the passion of his life, to be like Christ. And as we examined Christ, we found several characteristics, his holiness, his perseverance, his humility, his compassion, so on and so forth. But we also saw that he was a man of prayer. And so we should be people of prayer, to be like Christ. And as we talked about prayer, we decided to just delve into that a little bit more deeply. And so we've been looking at the kind of person who's effective in prayer. And we've seen already that to be effective in prayer, you're a person of the Word, a person of humility, a person of faith, a person of compassion, a person of peace, a person of gratitude, a person of perseverance. You're going to persevere in the prayer. And we see the last one tonight. And it's kind of just a concluding thought before we actually go to prayer ourselves tonight. And that is that even though you're a person of prayer and you exemplify all these things, even your perseverance in prayer, lastly, number 8 on my list, you're to be a person of action. A person of action. Why am I concluding with that one? Well, it's because the tendency by some, not all, I mean, you've got people that err on both sides. In other words, you've got people who do not pray. You know, they overemphasize their own responsibility in changing things, bringing about change, changing their life, learning the Word, studying the Word, putting this into action in my life. And certainly, there is truth in all that I just said. We are, as Paul told the Philippians, to work out our salvation. We are to work it out and make it evident. But he said it's according to the power that works within us, God working in us. And so it's both and. We are to be people of action, but people of prayer. But there are two extremes to avoid. And one is being just people of action without prayer. That's what one writer said is practical atheism, you know. We're not really atheists, but we live practically as if we are, because we go about everything in our own strength. So we want to avoid that, and I think this whole series is making that point. But it also is wrong to err to the other side. And I've seen that as I've ministered to people, you know, who are going through problems, and maybe they've got some problems in their marriage, a problem in their finances, or problems with their children, problems with their whatever. And a common question to ask as you're getting to know them and to figure out what the problem is what have you done about it? And it's not uncommon to just to get the answer, well, I've prayed about it. So I go, well, that's good, but what steps have you taken that you know are right to do to change or to solve this problem? So some people err the other side. And that is, I'm just going to let go and let God. I'm just going to pray and give it to the Lord and sit back and just watch. And I'm submitting to you that it's both and. We are to be people of prayer. But a person of prayer who really understands prayer is also a person of action. A person of action. I was just thinking about this today, and this is not really the main point I want to look at here in the Word. But I was reminded of Christ's words in the garden. You know, when he was trying to get his disciples to pray with him, he actually told them to do two things with him. In Matthew 26, verse 41, starting 40, and he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And you know that story. You know, here he is in the garden before the crucifixion, and he's in deep agony in prayer, so much that he sweat as drops of blood. And so he finds his disciples and they're sleeping. And he said to Peter, verse 40, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying. And the word there means to be alert. So on one hand, he's telling him, you know, be alert, be mentally engaged here, but also pray. And there's a time for both. There's a time for praying and a time for being on guard. There's a time for praying, and there's a time for watching. Both are necessary. And certainly God is willing to answer the prayer, you know, according to his perfect will. But many times we are the problem, you know. And there are steps we can take, and we know that are right to do, that we we need to take. And so we need to be on guard. We need to keep watching and praying. My point, though, is really what I've thought of as I've remembered the story of Nehemiah, that prayer is accompanied by a sanctified, you know, common sense and self-discipline. That there are choices we make, there is thinking we put into place, there's examination and evaluation that we do about problems and about things that we need to resolve. There is effort and action on our part that accompanies the prayer. Now, if you look at Nehemiah, so do that with me, the book of Nehemiah, you find that, you know, he was both a man of prayer and a man of action, really. He was, on one hand, as you know, rebuilding the wall, and he is praying about that. So if you look at, I guess it's Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, then you find this example of Nehemiah praying. I mean, he's concerned about what's going on back in his homeland. Okay, he knew that the city of Jerusalem was in disrepair. The wall was down. His goal was to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. And so when he heard of the sad state of his countrymen in Jerusalem, his first act was to pray. And so he did, verses 1 to 4 there. But he did more than pray. Look over at chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. In chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, and I love Ezra and Nehemiah both. I mean, there's incredible examples there of what you learn about God's providence. And the main point of these books, really, Ezra and Nehemiah both, you know, and all that God is doing through Ezra, all that God is doing through Nehemiah to rebuild the city, rebuild the wall, and to bring revival there is really not so much about Nehemiah or Ezra or the other things that are going on. It's about the providence of God. But if you look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, you see that not only did he pray, but now he's going to go talk to whom? The king. I mean, he's going to put something in place here. He's going to take some steps to try to resolve this. And so he boldly goes into the king there, verses 1 to 5 of Nehemiah 2, to talk to the king about his needs. I mean, he wasn't just going to pray and say, Lord, impress upon the king somehow to want to bring about some change. I pray, Lord, that the king will somehow be impressed with this in his heart and he'll bring it up to me. I'm not saying you can't pray those things. I'm just saying Nehemiah didn't leave it just with prayer. I mean, he prayed and prayed passionately and poured out his heart to God, and then he takes a step. And then he goes boldly into the king to tell the king about his needs. When God gave him the opportunity to do that. So he was ready to take some steps. If you look at another example, and that's Nehemiah chapter 4. Look over at Nehemiah 4, verses 7 to 9. And you see, I think one of my favorite little stories of the book. Because here they've got all these enemies that don't want the wall to be rebuilt. They don't want it to be rebuilt. They want it to be, they want to attack. And so they're ridiculing the people. They're, telling them that God's not going to protect them, that they can't rebuild this wall, so on and so forth. And Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, he prays, but he also does what? He set a guard. He posted a guard. Now, isn't this a lack of faith on his part? I mean, isn't he believing that God's going to answer his prayers? Well, sure he is. But he doesn't stop there. I mean, he prays and he posts a guard. And as the enemy starts to attack, when he knows they're, coming, he knows it's about to happen or could happen any moment. He tells the people to look, trust the Lord. The Lord's going to protect us and fight like crazy. I mean, basically, that's what he tells them, trust the Lord and fight like crazy. So which is it? Is it praying and trusting the Lord, or is it taking steps that you know are right to do, that you've got to resolve some problems? I mean, some examples could be, faced with a job situation, that you're out of a job. Well, you can pray about that, and you should. You know, you should pray that God would open up some doors and that he would lead you to a job. And then what do you need to do? Get a resume, send out resumes, make calls, go talk to people, knock on doors, et cetera, et cetera. We do that. So either extreme is wrong. And yet there, I don't know that there are anybody that just, you know, says, God, would you please mow my yard, you know, and just sort of sit back and look each day to see if God did it. I mean, more than likely, they're just going to mow it. You're not going to get away with, you know, praying, God, please clean my room, you know, for me. And so we understand that. We're going to clean the room. But sometimes when we say God provide for us, you know, God care for us, God take care of us, it's not to be just only prayer. There are steps we have to take. So my point is, prayer is no excuse for sloth. Prayer is no excuse for laziness. It wasn't Nehemiah. He was a smart man. I mean, he's evaluating, he's analyzing, he's figuring out what's going on. He's ascertaining the strength of the enemy, and he's coming up with a plan. And all the time, putting his confidence in the Lord. So you could say it this way. I mean, working and watching and evaluating and putting steps into motion without prayer, that's an offense to God, because it's that practical atheism. It's asserting our independence. You know, it's asserting our confidence in our own ability. And many people err in that way. On the other hand, if we just pray and we don't work, that demonstrates folly and foolishness. That demonstrates idleness. So there's a sense in which we can tempt God. We can presume on God and his goodness through our laziness. We can presume on God through our lack of common sense and our lack of setting goals and taking steps to reach those goals. So God does work, and God does answer our prayers according to his will, as we've seen. But it's not to the neglect of what our responsibilities are as Christians. I am responsible to put into place things to help read the Bible. I'm responsible for setting aside time for doing that. I'm responsible for not just waiting. Lord, you know, I pray that you would somehow, you know, put a desire on my heart to want to do this. I do pray things like that. I do struggle with desires, just like anyone. But I get up off my knees, and then I open my Word, and I read. See, you know, I've one of my favorite passages is Philippians 4. You know, that whole section on contentment, where Paul is saying that he's a contented man, and it doesn't matter what state of life that he's in. You know, whether it's good times or bad times, he's content. But some people, you know, kind of interpret that as this just sort of sitting back. Contented means just sitting back and doing nothing, being totally oblivious to the things that are going on around us. No, contentment and action can go hand in hand. Contentment and setting goals and dreams can go goals and objectives can go hand in hand. There is a sense in which maybe the contentment needs to come first. The trust in God, the settledness in God, the resting in God needs to be the foundation of our lives, in a sense, first, because we come to him that way in faith. We come to him trusting him. We come to him recognizing that we cannot depend on our own strength. And so we begin our walk with him that way, trusting him, acknowledging his sovereignty, his providence, And truly believing that no man can thwart his will, as Job says. We truly believe that God sits in heaven and does what he pleases, that he's not shocked and surprised by things, and that he works out his perfect will in his ways and in his times. We believe that. So there is a sense in which we start with that bottom line contentment that no matter what happens, I trust the Lord. Now, let me make some plans. Okay, let me look at things in my life that need to change. We can pray for someone else, for their needs, but we also have to look at, well, what can I do then to minister to them? What are steps I can take? What are things I can do to provide for their needs, if that's what we're praying about? So a true person of prayer also understands that he's to manifest diligence in his life. He's to manifest watchfulness. He is to manifest effort. It's God-directed, God-based effort, but it is effort. He doesn't just sit back and say, okay, sarah, sarah, and, you know, let go and let God. You know, he works. So I just wanted to balance all this with prayer, that we have responsibility to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And in the process of that, we are trusting that the Lord is taking these prayer-bathed efforts, efforts that are bathed in prayer, and God is using them toward his perfect end. Well, just as a reminder, we are to be devoted to prayer. Paul says that in Romans 12, verse 12, be devoted to it. And God is just as interested in the person who's praying as the words that he's saying. And he desires us to be all these things we've looked at, a person who's going to persevere in it, a person who's humble, who comes to him recognizing that it's not our own worth that allows us to come into his presence. He desires a person of prayer to be compassionate, to be praying out of a broken heart for people, a person who is influenced by the teaching of the word. So his prayers are reflecting biblical truth, all those things. And he requires us to be people of action. So you have to examine your own heart. Do you tend to err on one side or the other of just praying and doing nothing? Or do you tend to err on the side of I'm doing a lot in my life and I'm trying to figure things out, but I'm not taking my burdens to the Lord? And you make the change. Now, tonight, as we've been doing, we're going to spend some time in prayer. So we're going to try to do that in some small groups here as we break up in just a moment here in the auditorium. But